The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulallah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Rasulallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
As-salatu wa salamu alayki ya Nabiyyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO, the Magnificent Messengers. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we were covering the beautiful life of Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, and today we've got in store for you a very special message in our Real Talk section, so stay tuned for that. Let me start with a blessing of Durood e Pak before we go into the beautiful life of this magnificent messenger, Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, sending durood wa salam upon the best of creation, has amazing benefits. Now, we want to purify ourselves and we want to get rid of diseases of the heart, mind and soul. And sometimes that becomes quite difficult. You know, getting rid of the jealousy, the hatred or the anger, the enmity and all that. And one clear, quick solution that the scholars say to this is recitation upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the reason for that is this. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, recite salat upon me in abundance. Undoubtedly, your recitation of Durood e Pak upon me is a means of purification for you. Subhanallah. When you have all these things built up in your mind, all these diseases of the heart, there are different ways, and Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi teaches us some of those ways of purifying. But a quick fix to this is keep your tongue moist with sending Durood e Pak upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and watch how this purifies your heart, soul, and mind. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now, last week, you will remember, we covered the amazing life of Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam had a kingdom like none other. He was a prophet like none other. In that he not only was a prophet, but he was a king. And not only, he didn't rule a small proportion, a nation, but his kingdom stretched over all of civilization. And not only that, there was another amazing feature that the insects, the animals, the people, the jinn, and even the winds were all in his control. And his entourage was huge, and he would travel the earth with this amazing, these people, this amazing army. And he would do justice wherever he went and mesmerize people. Now you can imagine massive procession, and you'd have the people, the jinns, the animals, the insects. And last week, Shiraz Bey, our beloved guest, was telling us that at one point, he's 3 miles away, and prophets are so aware of their ummatis, those within, you know, their authority, that he heard an ant, a queen ant, from 3 miles away. And he smiled at what she was saying, and then he continued upon his journey. Today we will take it from there. Let me introduce our resident guest, Shiraz Bey. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
You well?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam truly was somebody unique, because although Hazrat Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam had a similar sort of sultanate and empire, and he was a prophet and a king as well, when it came to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, this was entire civilized world, entire human world.
SubhanAllah, yeah. Like we mentioned last week as well, he had this amazing empire. well organized, well structured.
SubhanAllah. What a beautiful time it would have been to live in. I mean, and you know, under the reign of Sayyidina Sulaiman, because I assume at that point, because he's ruling the entire world and the old civilization, then there is no conflicts and everything's ordered and beautiful.
You know, even when we come to the incident that happens, we will learn like various lessons there of how he dealt with the situation and how she, Queen Bilqis, dealt with the situation. And we're going to go through them kind of stages and what happened in their kind of, dialogue that they had with each other.
I remember you mentioning last week that at one point, Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam was even aware of where the birds were.
Yeah.
And how amazing the knowledge of a prophet is and how amazing his vision is, that you've got, you're commanding millions, and yet he notices that a bird is missing.
SubhanAllah.
Wow.
SubhanAllah. That's the is a mu'jiza, and that's the, you could say, the speciality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given prophets, that they, like the Prophet recognized certain individuals on a certain battlefield in a certain time.
SubhanAllah.
And exactly where they would get injured, in which place their souls would be taken. This is something that the prophets are gifted, this ilmul ghaib, this knowledge of the unseen before. I mean, especially in this incident that we're going to talk about today, is all these things structured together that made Bilqis, Queen Bilqis, I think we should go on to the incident, she kind of realized 100% that this person is a prophet. And she recognized that through these amazing karamat. Karamat is those miracles performed by a non-prophet. So when she seen this, she accepted and became a believer in the one God. Last week we talked about where we left off, kind of, was about the Hudhud, the bird.
Mm.
And what this bird would do, so where Sulaiman alayhi salam's army or his people would leave on a journey traveling, the clouds would follow, the creatures of the earth would follow, the birds would basically form a cloud over their kind of procession. And this one bird, the Hudhud, it didn't return. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, he says that, what's the matter? Why can I not see this bird anymore? Where's he gone? He was supposed to come back and bring me back information. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was kind of like, he says that when that bird comes back, this is in my words, when the bird comes back, I'm not going to let him go.
Yeah.
And the bird amazingly comes back suddenly. And he says that, I've come back, and look, hear me out, this is the reason why I was delayed. And the bird kind of explains that, look, I reached this place and I seen a queen, she has a similar kingdom like yours, and you know, they are all worshipping the sun, and I kind of took in all this information, observed everything, and I wanted to come back and kind of give you all this information, and that's why I was delayed in coming back to you. Normally that bird wouldn't do that. So Sulaiman alayhi salam listened to the bird, and the Hudhud said to Sulaiman alayhi salam that this queen, she's got a throne, a massive throne. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, he kind of took it all in and then thought, okay, if they're worshipping the sun, we need to send them a letter. And this is like a tradition of prophets, that would send letters. And a letter was a very, very wise thing to do, sending letters. And what he done, he took the letter and he first wrote Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then he wrote, peace be upon the one who follows guidance. Peace be upon the ones who are guided.
Just pausing there for a second though. Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam is ruling civilization. Okay, there's this one pocket of people who haven't come into the fold of Islam. He's got this huge army. He's got this entourage. He's got the jinns. So he could have simply flown down there because he was commanding the winds and said, how dare you? And taken over. But look at the wisdom of how he does it.
Yeah.
He starts with the name of Allah and he invites them beautifully.
It was basically, I mentioned this last week, that when he made this intention that I'm going to sleep with my wives and my army will grow, my following will grow, he didn't mention the name of Allah. He didn't say inshallah. So here, that was the lesson. And here he started off with the name of Allah straight away. That's what the purpose was initially. That was his lesson from the start, that you're gonna, whatever you do and whatever it is, it needs to be in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the purpose of life, everything being in response or being for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he writes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, peace be upon the ones who are guided. And then he says, basically, submit to the empire of Suleiman. Become obedient to Suleiman alayhi salam. Which basically was concise, right to the point, full stop. So it starts off with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, the most merciful. And then he's giving his peace upon the ones who are guided. And he's saying, right, you gotta be obedient to my empire.
Subhanallah.
Like, he's just got straight to the point, three lines in one sense. It was just 3 points he mentioned.
Wow.
Now, he put Suleiman alayhi salam put this paper, this letter, give it to the Hudhud. The Hudhud, this little bird, kind of flew all the way back and put this letter in the lap of the Queen Bilqis.
It's quite a beautiful little bird, actually. If you
Googled
search,
it before.
Yeah. If you search it, Hupu it's called, I think.
Hupu.
Or Hupi.
H-O-O-P-O-E.
Oh yeah, and it's very beautifully looking, subhanAllah.
Amazing, yeah.
And so Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam writes this letter, gives it to the bird, says, go and take this back.
Wow. SubhanAllah.
And so look at the messenger as well, such a beautiful little bird.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, but, and now, first of all, the bird coming back with the letter of Sulaiman alayhi salam and dropping it in the lap of Queen Bilqis while she sat on a throne. You can imagine the impression that had made straight away. And then when she seen the letter, the first thing she sees is the seal of Sulaiman alayhi salam, which is very famous. That Sulaiman alayhi salam has this ring, stamp mark people, sign of authority once again.
Mm.
So when she seen the seal on the letter, she was amazed just at that. The fact that
It's landed from nowhere.
The birds dropped it and it's got the seal of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam.
And just pausing there for a second, because she ruled over a lot of people. So this wasn't a small village or anything.
This was a big community.
It's
an entire... So the word mala, that's what's been used in the Quran, the word mala. You have like a small qarya. Qarya is a little village. Then you have the city, right? Which is called Medina, like you have in the Quran, Aqsa al-Medina. Then you have Mala. Mala is like various nations together under one kind of authority. That's what Mala is, like a large group of nations, all their ministers, and then there's one head of state, one head of ministry, basically.
And I remember reading this kingdom that it was somewhere down near where modern-day Yemen is.
And so now the letters come, it's got the stamp of Sulaiman alayhi salam in it. She's opened it, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, peace be upon the ones who are guided and basically become obedient to Sulaiman alayhi salam. When she read it out, told her ministers, and she said basically, what's your suggestions? Tell me, what's your advice? What would you suggest? And I'm not going to do anything until you've given me your suggestions and what your thought process is. And they basically said, look, we're a strong nation. We're strong. We're a strong force. We're tough warriors. If they want to fight, we'll fight. But it's up to you. Like, we're ready. They said, look, we're ready. We're going to support you. Whatever your decision is. So basically what they done was kind of backed her up. And said, look, we're supporting you throughout this. But she was very, very intelligent. And we're going to talk about her intelligence as well. So she turned around and right here she says that, look, the problem is that when an army enters into a land, it only causes collateral damage. It only causes chaos. It only basically makes the special or the honorable people, it makes them weak and humiliates them.
Mm.
And there's only damage upon damage. So it benefits no one. A war doesn't benefit anyone. And it only kind of injures those people who are living happily. They kind of get humiliated.
It degrades them, doesn't it?
Just messes up the society.
It messes up the society. And you know, you said she was very intelligent. The glorious Quran says, look at her. She straight away, she realized that what has happened here. I'm sat in my court with all these power and everything else. But the one who sent this letter sends it with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal put in her heart, you know, that promise that Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam was going to rule the world. Allah Azza wa Jal put it in her heart, because straight away, you know, the Quran describes the, you know, when she says, an honorable letter has come to me.
Yeah.
She uses the word honorable. She doesn't say, suddenly I found a letter. She says, an honorable letter has come to me.
Yeah.
And so straight away, she knows what she's thinking. But she's thinking, okay, this is from somebody truly special, but I can't just announce it to my nation. So she speaks to her nation and says, what do you suggest? And they say, well, we're very strong. Then she advises them.
And so basically, this even this answer that she gives, that look, there's no point in fighting. In the end, one's going to win, one's going to lose. The outcome is collateral damage. So in any war, there's basically one person's going to win, one person's going to lose. In the end, if there's just too much collateral damage, buildings, the land, animals, humans, everything just messes up. So she's from the start said, it doesn't matter how powerful we are, one of us are going to have to submit anyway, whether it's him or us. In the end, the loss is going to be, or the negative side effects of this war, this clash would be that one nation will be dominated by the other. So she kind of left that. And what's amazing, later on the Quran actually says that the entire nation was worshipping the sun, and even she was amongst them. But then she basically became a believer later on. So the Quran describes her kind of her history as well, that what type of influence she had from her ministers, and how she kind of didn't give in to that influence or that peer pressure. And she actually went and kind of submitted to Sulaiman alayhi salam.
She was very wise, because what happens is, really, a lot of these wars, things don't change for the people. It's the leaders, isn't it? And they are after maintaining their power. And so when Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam says to them, don't rise up against me, don't try and be superior to me, come humbly, obediently to me. And she realizes that this isn't a king who's going to desecrate and kill people. This is a true prophet. This is a true king. And all he wants is to reform
have
and
harmony,
guide.
Harmony.
And so she realizes that. So even though her people were wanting to fight.
So what she does, right? She kind of, it was her kind of, there was a lot of like tests, right? And she says that, okay, what we'll do is we'll send Sulaiman alayhi salam and his empire, we'll send them loads of wealth as gifts, treasures, valuables, gold, silver, diamonds, all these different kind of things. And this, all of this, so she kind of got together this massive, you could say,
a stack
of jewels, you could say. And she was going to give this to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And all of this was to observe whether Sulaiman alayhi salam is really a true prophet. She planned it all up and she sent this on a convoy and the jewels and the gifts.
Basically, she was trying to see if he was after worldly benefit.
She was trying to like kind of figure him out, what he really wants. Because remember, she's running an empire, he's running an entire empire. And it's not a small like kind of thing where you just shake hands on something. So she really wants to know that, will my people receive justice?
Is he a true prophet?
So, and Sulaiman al-Islam, his name was well known. So she kind of gave all these treasures. But what's amazing is what she didn't realize, that the Hudhud was watching. The Hudhud watched all of this. You know, this kind of
the plan
that she made, that, okay, we're going to send him wealth and we're going to figure out if he's a prophet or not. He's going to do this. The Hudhud's gone and told Sulaiman alayhi salam that this is what they planned. So when these gifts came to Sulaiman alayhi salam, he basically turned around and said that you're trying to aid me through wealth.
You're trying to bribe me.
Bribery, yeah. And he says, what Allah has given to me is much better than what He has given you. Rather, you are more happier with your wealth. And what that means is that you guys are satisfied with the worldly wealth and you show off to each other and you gift each other and you're just trying to kind of have this type of arrogance between you, this competition between you, and you guys are happy in that kind of situation, just kind of showing off to each other. So he basically sent them back, them gifts, he sent them back, and this was against what Queen Bilqis thought, because she thought that he's going to accept the gifts and resort to peace. But he said, look, take this back.
But I assume when you say resort to peace, leave them on their way and, you know, carry on.
Yeah.
So he's accepted the gifts and basically they have kind of taken a lower position.
Yeah, yeah.
They've given gifts, they've given some sort of jizya, as they say, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam wasn't interested in this because his mission was much greater.
So if it was to do with the empire, he would have accepted the gifts because he's earned something.
And now you're under me.
Now you're under me. I have authority. But it was got nothing to do with a kingdom. It's got nothing to do with authority. It's to do with you guys worshipping the sun. That's the bit she missed. So then he basically said to that person who brought this convoy of gifts that, look, go back to these people and say to them that, go back to your empire, your queen, and say to her that we will come back, or we will come forward with an army that you guys will not be able to fight. And basically he said, make sure you tell her these words. And because that was the first thing that the minister said. The minister said that we're strong, we're going to dominate, so we're behind you. So in response, Sulaiman alayhi salam said that, look, make sure you go back, tell the queen and the ministers that if you're going to mess with us, we're going to come with an army that you won't be able to handle. Number two, and verily we will humiliate them out of the city. So the second thing that she said. Was that, okay, this war is no good for anyone because it makes the noble people become humiliated. And he's kind of repeated them same words and said to the person who's brought the convoy that you go back and tell her this.
That was very clever as well, because it's the hierarchy, the rich people who are, you know, want to protect their wealth and everything else. And so as she's kind of engaged them and said, look, right at the beginning, and said, look, usually when a war happens, it's the rich who've got the most to lose. And so once you get those people on board, they want to kind of hoard their wealth.
Yeah.
So they then don't want to go to war. They're more akin to...
It becomes like this circle, doesn't it? Where you're just trapped in it and you kind of protect your wealth.
They'll be more likely to accept terms because they know that otherwise they're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. So he's gone back and said, you know, with the gifts.
So this this group, this party that came with the gifts from Bilqis, then come, Sayyidina Sulaiman sends them back and says, this is not...
They're not having it.
You need to be prepared, but you won't be able to deal with this.
Yeah, and he goes back and he says to Queen Bilqis that indeed he is a Nabi, he's a prophet. And he says that, look, we're not going to be able to fight them, they're too strong. So she became convinced, and he kind of related them words to Bilqis as well, saying that this is what he said exactly. This is exactly what we had a conversation about, and he's repeated them words. So he has this kind of structure that is too advanced for us.
And a knowledge,
he has this knowledge, he has this, you say, the inside person. He has something that's always on top of us.
Because Sayyidina Sulaiman Islam is in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. They're in Yemen. That's thousands of miles away. And yet the conversations they are having, Sayyidina Sulaiman Islam is basically mentioning those. They think, well, this guy...
The Hudhud reported that, look, they're on the way. They're coming, the entire army is coming. But they're not coming to fight. They're not coming like prepared in that way. They're coming as like normal, like, you know.
A delegation.
Yes. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he turns to the ministers. And because what Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to do is prove to her that I am a prophet before she gets here. Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted her to realize that, look, there is someone more superior than me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given me certain skills, certain mu'jizat, miracles. So is the, in the end, the one superior is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Sulaiman alayhi salam says to his congregation, that who's going to bring me her throne? And this was a challenge to the people that were in front of him. And it was like to kind of show to Bilqis as well the strength or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the qudrat, yani the power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give a person. So,
this was the era where thrones themselves were very magnificent. And the one that Bilqis had, that I think the scholar said was 80 foot long. And
so, yeah, there's loads of different kind of variations of how big it was. But all we could say in the end, it was huge. And that was to kind of lift that from 1,000 miles away and bring it to Sulaiman alayhi salam as he requested.
And she locked it away, apparently.
And she locked it. She had it locked away. And she had it fully secured, so you couldn't even get to it.
Guards and everything else. And so Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam says to his courtiers, and this is just to make sure that Bilqis is pretty convinced, but she's not quite there. Mm. So when she comes, if she sees the throne, basically, she'll know this is a prophet of Allah. Mm. So he asks his courtiers, who can bring me the throne?
SubhanAllah.
Before she gets here.
Before she gets here.
But she's close, isn't she?
She was on her way.
Yeah.
So one person, Ifrit, it was a jinn.
Mm.
He gets up and he says that I'll bring it in the time it takes for you to stand from your place. And Sulaiman alayhi salam said, that's too slow. From the time it takes for me to stand up, that's too slow. I don't want it that quick. I want it faster. And this was entirely to show the delegation in front of them, the people in front of them, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to show this mu'jiza. This mu'jiza is a sign of Allah's existence. To show the people in front that how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And to show, it was also, we're going to get to the Bani Israel as well, that there's no need for magic, there's no need for illusions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give this. Because he could have done this himself. This is the interesting thing. Could have done this because he could hear ants from miles away and he could see things that we can't see. Like
he could have just commanded the air to bring it.
He could have commanded the air. He could have done this entirely himself. But he didn't. He asked the audience that who's going to bring him. And so the Ifrit, he was basically a bad jinn. And he said, I'll bring it in this.
But very strong.
Sulaiman alayhi salam rejected him.
But he said, this is the interesting thing. The glorious Quran says, he says, I am strong, I am trustworthy.
Mm.
Doesn't he? So he's already, you know, saying, Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam has got somebody there who's willing to bring it.
So here in this tafsir, the Ruh al Bayan, it says, Qala Ifrit, Marid, Khabith. Like he's a very wrong jinn, type of jinn, evil. And he's a really, really evil person. He basically said, I'll bring it in. And he was basically one of the shayateen, and he was going to bring it through some sort of magic. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he disapproved that. He said, no. And then he said, this is too slow. Who's going to bring it me faster? So then Asif bin Barkhiyah, he said to him, he basically said that I will bring it to you less than the time it takes for you to blink your eye.
Right.
So, like a nanosecond.
What did the jinn say? How long was he?
Jinn says before the time it takes or the duration it takes for you to move from your place.
Which some scholars have said means that by the time this court ends,
yeah,
a few hours, maybe.
A short period of time.
But compared to blinking of an eye.
Blinking of an eye is instant, isn't it?
Mm.
Sulaiman alayhi salam said, okay. And that's what happened. He basically, and what the interesting thing is, like I mentioned, it was to show when, because Bilqis put that, like that's kind of primary, but secondary, it was to show the people and the congregation that you don't need to resort to magic, because this was a second purpose as well.
Or evil jinns.
Evil jinns. You don't need to go down this route to kind of get things done. And what Asif bin Barkhiya done, he read the name of Allah, this supreme name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that certain Sufiya, Awliya know, and they use this word, the Ism-e Azam, and they use this name and amazing things happen. So he read that name, he made dua, Ya Allah Azzawajal, allow me to do this, and he basically had that throne come from one side of the continent to the other side in less than a blink of an eye.
Doesn't the Quran mention though that this person had some knowledge of the book?
He was given knowledge of the book.
The book that's referred to there must be Zabur Sharif from Dawud al-Islam.
Dawud al-Islam. So now the Arsh has come, right? Which would have been an amazing.
So the throne's there now.
The Arsh is there, and now was Sulaiman alayhi salam, so now that's proven to the Bani Israel, and trying to tell them that look, don't resort to magic. You could do this by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing was that Sulaiman alayhi salam had possession of the throne, and he turned around and said to his people that change the structure of this arsh. Change the structure of this arsh. I don't want it to look like the way it's looking. So when she comes, I want her, if she's clever, she's going to be able to recognize that this is her arsh. I want her to be able to recognize that this is her arsh. So when the throne came, he kind of told his people, change the structure, change the layout. I don't want her. I want to see if she
change the appearance of it.
Change the
so
appearance.
So that she can, we can really see whether she's clever enough to.
If she's clever enough to identify that that's her arsh, that's her authority, kingdom, pride, everything. Let's see if she could do that. So they changed the appearance. Now when the procession came and their group of or the army came, Sulaiman alayhi salam, remember his throne was there, her throne was there. And it's like, you recognize this? And she recognized it. She recognized the throne. And this was the interesting thing. Because now she's realized, before she even got there, and then Sulaiman alayhi salam, he basically says, there's no need to lock it and secure it behind wherever you secured it. I could have got it just like that. And kind of basically made her, or impressed her, tried to say to her that there is an authority more superior than you and me, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has the power to do anything and get anything done. So what he wanted to do is make her or convince her and her people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of being worshipped.
Subhanallah.
Don't worship the sun. And he done this before. Remember, like if you look at the entire life of Sulaiman alayhi salam, before something would happen, he would be able to solve it already. So whilst the army was going, he heard the ant from 3 miles away. Telling them go back into your home. So he kind of already like solved the issue before the time came. So same here, like during his entire like story, there's always this kind of signature of Sulaiman alayhi salam where he's got the problem solved before it's even happened.
So they're coming thinking, we'll go and check this out, see who's a real king or a prophet or what it is. And before you know, they can do anything, when they arrive in the court of Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, that huge, massive throne that they've left behind locked away, which is impossible to carry all this way, has been brought to the court of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And I suppose the other thing to mention there is that he didn't bring it. So the man alayhi salam didn't bring it.
He didn't bring it.
One of his courtiers brought it.
Subhanallah.
So this is the power that Allah Azawajal gives to the walis of a Nabi. Can you imagine the power that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam had? But we are now very finely poised at the point that Bilqis comes. We've run out of time for this section because we're going to go on to our next very important section today. So inshallah we're going to continue from there. But how amazing, so many Madni pearls in the glorious ayats of the Quran. And this is all, you know, there's quite a lot of information in relation to this event in the glorious Quran, is it? Subhanallah. And you can read the tafsir in Salat al-Jinan fi tafsir in Quran as well.
Wonders, wonders of
Quran. This was an amazing time. And Hazrat Sayyidina Sulaiman Islam gave a beautiful invitation to the deen. The people wanted to check and they sent gifts. He sent them back. They then came to his court, and before they arrived, the throne of their queen was already there. The queen now arrives. What happens next? Inshallah, we'll continue from there next week. We're going to go into our real talk section, and alhamdulillah, we've got a very special guest for you as well in our real talk. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu
ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Now, in Islam, one thing that the blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us and emphasized was our relationship with those around us. How we deal with people around us, how we care for them, how we love them, how we look after them. Islam was truly magnificent and beautiful, because what Islam taught the world was don't be selfish. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instilled into the blessed companions that your brother was your responsibility. You know, what you like for yourself, you like for your brother. You know, Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this concept of humanity, which was amazing. That, you know, if one part of the body is hurting, how can the rest of the body be in peace? So if one ummati is in struggle, is in pain, then the others need to feel that pain and try and do what they can to help that person. And if you look at the history of Islam, Islam was set, the foundations of Islam were set on brotherhood and helping those in need. And there's been nobody in the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla who's been more merciful and more generous than Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed companions spread throughout the world and spread the beautiful, peaceful message of Islam with love, care and affection, being concerned for others. So whenever there's a time of difficulty, whenever there is a test for somebody, one beauty is that alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Islam brings us together. Now we've all seen that in Turkey and Syria, there had been this devastating earthquake. And our brothers and sisters have been struggling. A lot of people have lost their lives. May Allah raise their ranks in Jannah. A lot of children have become orphaned and people are in very difficult times. And like everything else, alhamdulillah, the Muslim Ummah is trying to come together. And where everybody is trying to help, your Dawat Islami through FGRF has been trying to do what it can. Even a little helps. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you know, this opportunity in itself is an opportunity to help others and gain blessings from it. The question really that we had for today's session, and we've got about 15 minutes left, Shiraz Bey, was this. That, you know, as an ummah, what is our response? This is a test for them, no doubt, but it is a test for us as well. Okay, you know, FGR for doing their little bit, but, you know, okay, we all feel bad, but, you know, what should we do? I know brothers who, for the last week, haven't slept in this country. They've contacted the airlines, they're gathering clothes, they're running about, buying things, buying new jackets, trying to, you know, make deals with companies, trying to get these there. I know one person who trying to secure sleeping bags. And it's almost as if they have been hit by this. But that jazbah you don't see,
You know, Haji Abdul Habib, amazing, he's about, what, 50? How old is he?
Probably, just over, yeah.
And, you know, for him to literally, I think it was, he used to go up in the middle of the night. He mentioned he couldn't sleep properly.
Yeah,
his ticket, and he just left.
He just left? He just left blind. I mean, you know, and then getting there, the journey there was, because the road...
You know, normally you'd think, okay, someone does it for name, fame, whatever it is, but we know him. He's not even like that. For him to just literally get up.
Well, if he wanted to do that, he could have sat at home on Madni channel and done it from there.
Harumba, what I'm trying to say is, look, if a person really wants to do something, he'll get up and do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? And he is a living kind of proof for that, because he, bear in mind, he's from Pakistan, it's more difficult to get a visa from there.
Yeah.
He literally just got up, done what he had to do, Allah opened the path for him, and literally he was there. Okay, it took some time, the roads were kind of they were broken.
No, but he set the route though, because he made the initiative. He went there. He kind of opened up the path. A few brothers went with him, but then he found the areas that he needed to help. And now there's a stream of work. Okay, it's a drop in the ocean. We accept that. But if every one of us made that drop in the ocean, then that's how...
You see, the thing is, you're not... I'll come to that point, like, you know, what you're saying there. For him to get up, go all the way there, for me, I was sat there like, wow, this person's 50-odd, he's got children, he's got grandchildren, he's left everything, and he's gone into this uncertainty. And bear in mind, the aftershocks were still coming through. A few days later, the aftershocks were still coming through. He's gone there, and we just seen him. He was sleeping in the back of a car. He was, you know, doing this, giving out stuff, whatever he could. All of that was this kind of...
It's tough. I was just thinking when you were saying that when I went to Pakistan in 2005, I was 30. 17 years ago, that was. Yeah? And we struggled. We were living in a little van, and we had some biscuits and some milk, and that's it. And it was tough.
It was difficult.
So at that age, and then, you know, so soon after, we went a couple of weeks after, I think it was 10 days or something, from recollection. And I know that there was sat in traffic and everything. And even if it was, like you said, yeah, you say it was just to show, he could have got to a certain place and said, right, we've come here, we've distributed these things. No, they went as far as they could. And they went to different, and they tried to help people, and then they came back and tried to secure a supply line.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that's secured, so they're buying these containers that they were mentioning and everything else. Once that's set up, he's back here. Mm. He's not there to hand out these containers.
Yeah.
And
to show, there for 3-4 days.
He was there 3-4 days, but he set up the system. And I suppose this is Dawat Islami for you, and it, you know, Hadi Abdul Habiba is an example of how Dawat Islami
like
works.
Hands-on
approach.
Like, he could have easily just sent a few brothers, but the thing was, he wanted to see it.
The example is there. Now, not all of us will be able to get up and go. We accept that, and you know, but the thing is, we've got a network there. You know, a lot of people are going to be working there. We just need to make sure we do our bit. When there is a collection, try and do what you can. If you are, you know, you've got a lot of educated people who can help. This is the Ummah of Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just do it on the basis that, you know, this is a great test for them. And in this difficult time,
there's a Hadith Sharif of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, whoever basically makes something, removes a difficulty, removes an obstacle, removes... Hmm? Some kind of difficulty that a believer is going through in the dunya, Allah Azawajalla will remove a difficulty that he may receive in the hereafter.
Charity is amazing because it even gets rid of your sins.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azawajalla, you know, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said charity extinguishes the sins like water extinguishes fire. And, you know, it's an opportunity. And a lot of people, you know, they might sit there but thinking, what difference does my little...
One drop. Thing is that I'm going to come to that. So then the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man yassara ala mu'asirin," whoever makes something easy for someone who's very unfortunate, Allah will make things easy for him in the dunya and in the hereafter. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever covers a defect of a believer, Allah will cover him in the dunya and in the hereafter. The final part of the hadith says that, وَاللَّهُ فِي أَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي أَوْنِ أَخِي. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so if you are going through a difficulty, the formula given in this hadith is that start helping a brother, Allah will remove your difficulty. So if you're going through a difficulty, help someone else, Allah will remove your difficulty. So if you want someone to remove your difficulty, Allah will remove that difficulty, but you're going to have to remove someone else's. So in that, this situation, and you could imagine that it's an entire continent, it's a huge area that has just basically trembled to the ground. Anyone from basically donating that £10, for example, just donating, you know, something small, being a part of it, that £10, we might just think that I put it in the box, I don't know what's going to happen to it. Dawud Sami FGRF, though, how far that £10 they will utilize it and how much it'll help someone on the other end.
And this is again the way of the shaitan, because the shaitan makes you think all these things. You know, when we're spending money left, right, and center, we don't think about all the where it will go in internet.
You see, the thing what he does, he is like, we think, right, to help someone, what you really want to do is basically clean up the entire continent and, you know, build everything. And what happens is you think that's going to cost billions, right?
So what am I
going to do to put a drop in the ocean? The thing is, now no one's going to put the drop in the ocean. So rather than thinking big scale, at least do the smaller thing.
But you know, with Islam, one of the beauties of Shiraz Bay Islam is that Islam teaches brotherhood, teaches compassion. And there are many, many different hadiths in Baghdad. Like you mentioned, if you want to help others. I was reading, I had just done a silsila on depression, and I was reading up about it, and it said, one of the ways of getting yourself out of misery is to visit the sick, is to help those in need, and you will feel better inside. And in the similar way, there will be people who are far from Turkey at the moment, who are gaining great reward, and they may not have given a lot as well. Mm. Why? Because in their heart they feel a pain. Mm. You know, when they see these pictures, and they think, and they think, what if that was me? What if those were my children? And then they're standing in Salah. So they're saying, well, look, you know, like Abdul Habibai very beautifully said, 40 seconds changed their lives. A lot of people didn't wake up, you know. And what if that's me? And they're standing in Salah, almost in tears. Now, that is a positive impact, you know. And there will be the negative ones who you know, twist it around. But those who are positive will do whatever they can. Donate wherever they can, you know, and there are some charities are collecting clothes as well, you know, and they can give away good coats, good things, and there are people who go out to there. I remember when we were doing the flood collections, there was a charity that were collecting clothes, and people were giving, going out and buying new coats and donating them to, for the flood relief. But at the same time, in there were bags where people had come and dumped their old clothes that were unsuitable to even cargo across there. So it's all about that consciousness,
the
that
cleanliness
true
of
love,
the heart.
The cleanliness of the heart. And really, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the power that Allah azza wa jal has given, you're giving in the way of Allah azza wa jal, knowing that Allah azza wa jal will give you back at least 10 times more, up to 700 times, or unlimited. And once you've got that trust in Allah azza wa jal, and I suppose it comes back to, you mentioned Hazrat Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, he was wealthy, but all his life he gave with both hands.
Yeah.
But no rivayat have I ever come across, no narration which says that he was ever poor or he ran out of money.
He always increased.
It's always increased. I mean, he just got richer and richer and richer. Because you cannot get poor by giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when you're helping Muslim brothers and sisters, you know, in this sort of disaster, it should make you think, and you should think about your own children, you should think about your own environment, and what would you expect if you were in that.
You know, like for example, now, right, we, even though we're on a small little country, and we're on like a certain part of the continent, the earthquake happened there, and that entire area is demolished. We think to ourselves that, look, we're sat in comfort, and we kind of neglect. We don't do that shukran, you know, we don't praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. But suppose tomorrow something happens to any community, anywhere, that's now living in prosperity, you would want someone to help you as well. And especially now, for example, the Turki, that area towards the, you know, the Syrian border, they've been going through difficulties for some time. Now they're looking for help as well, them young children, the elders.
It was a very good point that Abdul Habibai made, and you picked up on that. You know, in Turkey, it's an advanced country, they've got equipment and everything else. But in parts of Syria where the earthquakes happened, the infrastructure through years of war had already kind of, it was non-existent.
Yep. Yep.
And so I remember seeing a report on the news which said that nobody's there to help. Nobody's even there to dig out the people in the rubble who are calling out for help. And it's scary.
So that's what I'm saying. Someone, like, today, if a group of or any nation needs support and help, it could be tomorrow that that nation and group of people that don't help, they will be screaming out for help as well. And the sadness is that when someone is asking for help, how many people are there to help them? And Islam and this religion teaches that, look, wherever there is a chance, help someone. Especially, you know, we see in the Islamic world, this environment, that this brothers are always gifting things, and there's always like this kind of ronak, this happy kind of environment. It's a very small thing, but having that on a larger scale, where you're helping large communities, that's what FGRF has kind of put forward, haven't they? Haji Abdul Habib's gone into this area, seen what it is. He's organized a plan, hasn't he? He's made a plan, he spoke to the embassy.
Today they had a Madni Mashra as well of how to coordinate it.
And even, you know, if you look at the flood in Pakistan, so even though now no one's talking about that anymore and all of this.
You know, the surprising thing is there are still areas with water still there.
What I'm wondering, see, they are still constructing, homes, still, you know, the hospital, the healthcare, anything that was donated back then, and there's still brothers there who are organizing working. And they are there until these people receive the help and the aid that they need. Even though it's gone quiet and another natural disaster has occurred, now this same, again, the Al-Sami and FGRF, they will continue to support them and help them for as long as they need to be there. They will not leave there until the help
it's
and aid is given.
It's that compassion that Islam gives. And Islam is so beautiful. I remember, and I think I'll finish with this, that Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu finds out that there's a woman in Medina to Munawwara who is elderly, is blind, and has nobody to look after her. So he goes and knocks on the door and he says, you know, I found out that you're elderly, you're blind, you've got nobody to look after you, so from here and on, I will come and I will look after you. And I'm Umar ibn Khattab. She says, thank you very much for coming, but I don't need you. There's somebody else who already comes. He's been coming for years, and he comes and cleans everything, and he takes care of everything. So he says, well, why can't I share the responsibility? I just want to do it for reward. And she says, no, there's somebody else who's been coming for years and he's fine. I'm happy with him. So he inquires as to who it is. And she says, I don't even know his name. Don't even know his name, but he comes every day. So one day, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu hides and wants to see who it is. And after the morning prayers, he sees a man walking towards the house of the old lady. And when he stops him, it's none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala used to go to this lady's house, do everything, not let anybody know. And this was the compassion that Islam had. You know, Islam, these people gave everything and nobody found out. We give a tenner, we want everybody to know. You know, Islam has spread because of the love of the people. And at this moment in time, you know, and to get to the hearts and minds of people, it's this compassion. And at this time, the compassion we can show is to do whatever we can. And what we can do at the moment is donate to those who are credible people so that they can help these people. Viewers of Madni Channel, may Allah help those people, our brothers and sisters in Turkey. May Allah give us the ability to learn from this great disaster. As Rukni Shura said, within 40 seconds, life changes. How prepared are you? If we went to sleep today, we didn't wake up tomorrow morning, what would it be like? Let's go to sleep after having prayed Isha, having made Tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's go to sleep reciting Durood e Paak upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if it's our last night, then that will be the best way. Main so jaun ya Mustafa kehte kehte, khule aankh salli ala kehte kehte. May Allah Azza wa Jal help all the people in Syria, in Turkey, that have been affected by this, all the ones who have passed away, may Allah raise their ranks in Jannah, and all the brothers and sisters who are making effort to help those people, may Allah give them a great reward and give them greater ability to help. Ameen bijahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of all